Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. When we finished the first little segment of the show, we were talking about drugs that are associated with dementia in elderly. This was 3,500 seniors were studied for more than 7 years. None of them had dementia or Alzheimer's disease at the start. The ones with a higher chance of being diagnosed with dementia were those who used drugs with anticholinergic side effects. That is doxepin, diphenhydramine or cortrimeton, or oxybutynin for more than 3 years faced a much greater dementia risk. How much greater? Well, in the 3,500 people, those drugs that had the anticholinergic effects were more than 50% more likely to get and to develop dementia over this 7 year period. So that's pretty strong evidence. And so the bottom line, ask the doc, does this have a side effect of anticholinergic? If the doc doesn't know, or you don't want to know, then what you should say is, how can I look it up? And look it up on the internet, say, does this drug, you simply Google, does the drug have anticholinergic, does blank have an anticholinergic effect? If the answer is yes, call the doc's office back and ask for a different one. Or instead of using cortrimeton, for example, you can actually ask for Claritin. So there almost now are certainly drugs such as the serotonin reuptake inhibitors instead of other antidepressants that don't have this effect. Okay, that's a serious
other than,
subject.
Dementia, Dr. Mike, does it harm the nervous system any other way?
We think it just reduces the amount of cholinergic effects you have, and chronically your body adjusts to that by saying, hey, I'm not getting a cholinergic effect. Why keep on? Why not cut it out? And because it cuts it out, then you have less of that effect chronically, and then you develop dementia earlier. That's the only explanation we have.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Bridget, what's your favorite story of the week?
My favorite story of the week was about the consumption of sugary beverages being linked to earlier menstrual periods in young girls. You want to hear
so
about it?
So this is earlier puberty is associated
yes.
with...
Sugar-sweetened beverages.
The kids developed earlier puberty if they were drinking sugared beverages. Is that the story?
Yep.
So go and tell us more about that.
Okay, I will. So they looked at just over 5,500 girls that were aged 9 to 14, and they found that the girls who had drank more than 1.5 servings of sugary drinks a day had their period 2.7 months earlier than the girls who had consumed two or fewer sugar drinks per week. And we also know that this is fairly relevant to be looking at because girls in this country are starting their periods earlier, and that's linked to an increased risk of breast cancer later in life. So what this study shows is that there's a potential concern with not only childhood obesity, but also the first time that a girl has her period or enters puberty.
So are there any other side effects? In other words, this is a weird side effect to look at, right? You have a sugary drink, and what do they think the mechanism of that is? How does that, why does it cause that?
It didn't really say, but the interesting thing is that they took into account the BMI, and they found that even that the effects of the sugar drink consumption on the age of the onset was still significant even when you adjust for BMI. So you would think that the sugar-sweetened beverages would increase percent body fat and that would maybe be linked with the earlier onset of puberty, but even when they accounted for BMI, it showed that there was an association. So I'm not sure exactly what the potential link would be.
Well, I am going to give you the weird one. The weird one is that people spend, on average, the week of Super Bowl, an extra $150 at the supermarket. It's the most expensive grocery week of the year. After all has been said, Americans eat more than 1.2 billion chicken wings. 1.2 billion. 11 million slices of Domino's pizza. 11.2 million potato chips. These are, and 8.2 million pounds of tortilla chips. So when you think of 8.2 million pounds, if you divide that among everyone in the nation, so 8.2 million pounds, 300 million people. So you'd say each person is eating, I can't believe it, is that right? Each person is eating 100 pounds of tortilla chips on Super Bowl Sunday? No, it can't be. Maybe 10 pounds.
That can't be.
If it's 10 pounds per person and 300 million people, that would be 3 billion pounds of tortilla chips. So no. So you got to be way less than that. Maybe each person is eating half a pound of tortilla chips. Well, we'll come. I'm going to find that out, to find out how many tortilla chips people are eating.
Dr. Mike, which holiday, Dr. Mike, is more detrimental to our diets, Thanksgiving or the Super Bowl?
Oh, it's got to be the Super Bowl. Anyway, it's 6,000 calories a day. So, Bridget, that was one of my favorite stories. What is your favorite story, your next favorite story?
Well, let's go back for 1 second because I'm thinking about it. To your question, I think that the higher insulin concentrations there could be a potential link with sex hormones, and that could have a potential effect on the period. I know that that was now back off topic, but it's just one thing that I thought of.
So sugary drinks tied to earlier menstruation, maybe because you put out more insulin because you've had the sugary drink. Insulin has a growth factor associated with it that may be tied to earlier puberty.
Correct.
Okay. The one that surprised me most of all the stories this week was 80% of 10-year-old American girls. So even by age 10, 80% of American girls have been on a diet already. Isn't that amazing?
It's so concerning. And they also found that 1 out of 4 children had dieted prior to turning 7 years old, which is absolutely incredible. And then they looked further into the difference between the boys and the girls, and they found that 1/3 of the boys and then the majority of the girls that were aged 6 to 8 had wished that their bodies were thinner. So I think that it speaks to a large problem.
And what with their body? I missed your phrase. Say what you said again, Bridge.
That the 1/3 of the boys that were ages 6 to 8 wished that they were thinner, and then the majority of the girls ages 6 to 8 wished that they were thinner.
Yeah, probably everyone over the age of 10 wishes they were thinner. But in any case, what this shows
younger, is they were younger than that. They were 6.
We have a preponderance with body image and body concerns. We're going to show more about this study after we talk to our great guest, and this is maybe one of the causes of why we're so obese, autoimmune disease. Dr. Amy Myers, spectacular author of The Autoimmune Solution, will be joining us in just a few minutes. Stay tuned to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.